I thought you'd sneaked off to Sunday school. Are you coming in? Sorry, come back in. Anybody feeling weary this morning? Yeah? Sometimes it's a temporary thing. We've had a busy week. It's the end of term. We've had a late night. We've got lots of different things going on in our heads. Sometimes those things pass when we've had a chance to rest and catch up. Sometimes our weariness is a longer term thing. My series I've been doing, this is episode number 3, is about rest, based on this fabulous book, All Who Are Weary by Sarah Hauser, Finding True Rest by Letting Go of the Burdens You Were Never Meant to Carry. We've looked at Jesus' invitation, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. We talked about how he offers himself to us, but it's up to us how we respond to that invitation. We talked about how rest isn't just sleep. It's about replenishing the things that we've used up or given out. So that was episode 1. Episode 2, we looked at 2 of the things that we carry around that we don't need to. Things that wear us down, distract us from the most important things. Things that distort our view of ourselves or each other. It was an encouragement to look at what extra we're carrying. Last time we looked at worthlessness and condemnation. And just to be clear, those are the things we're not supposed to carry. We talked about how God values us, how he offers forgiveness, how those things don't need to weigh us down. This week we're going to look at 2 more. We're going to look at self-sufficiency and worry. First, we're going to hear our Bible reading. Carol's going to read to us from Psalm 121.
Morning. Today's passages from the Bible are taken from Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 121, and I'm going to read the verses 1 to 8. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. So we're looking at self-sufficiency and worry this morning, 2 light, easy topics. I hope this morning it helps you to recognise if these are things you're carrying. If you don't carry these, then please don't pick them up to carry around with you. But it may help you to recognise if you are carrying them, if you are being weighed down by them, if they're making you weary and tired and fight making life tricky. But I also hope that if you recognise you are, that it gives you the hope that you don't have to carry them. That there is an answer and we can be free of these burdens. So let's start with self-sufficiency. In the book she titled it, Made to be Dependent. She quoted Psalm 121, where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Most of us like to cope, don't we? We like to manage. We like to feel we can do things and accomplish things and succeed. That things, we set off to do tasks and we manage them and life goes okay. Perhaps it's important to see ourselves as capable, or that the world sees us as capable. An important part of parenting is teaching, encouraging our children to do things for themselves so we don't have to do everything. Think about when I had a reception class, when we did our parents' evenings before the children started, the parents would always say, what should we do? What do we need to teach them before they come? And they were thinking reading and writing and all those things. And I used to say, please teach them to put their own coat on. Teach them which is their coat. Teach them how to get it on. And if you can manage to teach them how to fasten it, that would be awesome. That was what was important, my children. You imagine we're 30 kids and they've all got different coats and can spend most of playtime trying to get them into their coat. So we spend quite a lot of time learning how to do things and helping other people perhaps learn how to do them. And that's good. It's good. But it's also important that we learn when to ask for help. We learn it's okay to ask. And we learn when we need to ask somebody else for help. We probably all face situations we can't deal with, things that are beyond our skills or beyond our ability to cope. You might even be in the middle of one right now. It can feel like failure, that we can't do it. But maybe sometimes it's a good thing. When we let go of trying to do it on our own, when we let go of that need to show that we can manage everything, we're free to receive help from God and to ask for help from other people. So help from God. Well, it's good to have a sense of responsibility for our choices and our actions. We do have that free will. But it's also vital that we rely on God. In Isaiah chapter 36 and 37, King Hezekiah, who was a good king, one of the few good kings, was facing the mighty Assyrians. So Assyrians were like the superpower of the day, and they came and swept through places and took charge of everywhere. And they'd come to take charge of Israel. King Hezekiah eventually realized that all his power, all his resources, all his position, all his grandness and his kingness authority weren't enough. So he put on sackcloth and ashes that showed that he was in a difficult place. And he went before God and humbled himself. God was the only answer. He realized, despite all that he had at his fingertips, Hezekiah knew that what he had wasn't enough because Assyria was mightier. So as the king, he humbled himself, he went to God, he asked for God's help. Verse 20 says, "Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, from the hand of Assyria, so that all kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God." He wasn't too proud to say he wasn't enough. Even though he was the most powerful person in the land, he wasn't too proud to say, "I can't do this. What I have isn't going to cut it." He went to God and said what help he needed. My example of this, which lots of you will have heard before, is from when Adam and Emma were little. Those of you who knew us then knew that Adam was, a lively toddler. I think he was the phrase. Those of you who knew him then will... he's a fine young man now, I must say, but then he was a lively toddler. And Emma was unsettled baby, I think is the phrase. Again, if you knew us then, you can picture exactly Emma's unsettledness. And I can picture vividly sitting on the landing. Adam was up to something. Emma was unsettled. David was out. And I can picture vividly sitting on the landing and just saying, "I cannot do this. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I cannot do this anymore." And in my head was a loud voice, not an out loud voice, if you see what I mean, but a voice in my head, instant reply, "You're not supposed to be able to ask me for help." I have no doubt that on that day God spoke to me. He broke through my sense of needing to show I could manage. I've got two hands, a child in each hand, that should be okay. But I couldn't, and I wasn't supposed to. That was a real breakthrough for me. It's really easy to rely on our own abilities instead of on God. How often do we try everything ourselves first and then go to God when we're desperate? What if we learn to do it the other way round? What a weight that would lift from us if we went to God first each time and brought his help in straight away. How much more would people around us see God in us? Just like Hezekiah prayed, all kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God. We ask God for help, not just so we can manage the situation, but so that people see God in us. I think it's also important that when he asks us to do something, that we do it in his strength, not our own strength. We don't do things because we can. We do things because God helps us. If we feel we can do it ourselves, then probably we shouldn't be, because we tend to go in and do it on our own. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was very good with words. He was good at putting them together. He was good at having the right words. But in Ephesians 6:19, he says, "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me by God, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in Christ." Paul wasn't scared to ask for help. He wasn't scared to say, "I need your help." He wasn't scared to say, "This is powerful because it's you in me." Let's make sure we do the same and are always asking God to work through us. So self-sufficiency means, well, the opposite of not carrying the weight of self-sufficiency means we're asking God for help. We're doing things in his strength. But it also frees us to ask for help from other people. God designed us to live in a community, which means giving and receiving help from other people. It's easy to feel we've failed if we need to ask for help, especially if it's something other people manage easily or appear to manage easily. It's easy to justify it because we don't want to be a burden to anybody. Perhaps sometimes our pride stops us from admitting that we're struggling. In John chapter 13, it says, Jesus says, "By this, by caring for each other, will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for each other." The church is a place for giving and receiving love and help and care. It's a place that God's love in us is shown as we care for other people. It's a place we can be sure we can come and ask for help in God's name. And we're free to ask and to accept all the help God offers. That might be from him directly. It might be from those he puts in our lives. It might be through medical resources and other professional help. Seeking help, I feel I need to say, seeking medical help is not doubting God. That's using God's resources. So, are you weighed down by trying to cope on your own? Do you put off asking God for help? Do you ever struggle with asking for help from other people? We're going to listen to Matt Mayer's song, "I Need You." This is the song that just burst into my mind when I was writing this. We're going to just have the space to listen to it. It's a time to remember that it's okay to need God. It's a time to rest with him. I know it's okay to ask for his help and help from people around us. Thanks. A reminder. Such a reminder that we don't have to carry things on our own, that we're not supposed to be able to do everything, that God is supposed to help us and we're supposed to ask. So I pray this morning, if you are carrying that sense of self-sufficiency, I don't presume that you'll just have put it down now and never pick it up again. But maybe this is the start of recognising it, start of recognising the weight that it's adding to you, the unnecessary energy and effort you're putting in because you're carrying that when you don't need to. So that's the first unnecessary weight. The second one is worry. I've got just a few minutes to tackle the whole of worry. That's not going to happen, is it? That's not quite how it is. The definition is feeling anxious and troubled about an actual or potential problem. about feeling the pain of outcomes yet to happen. It's not the same as thoughtful concern or care or caution. It's not the same as having difficult things to face. I'm not knowing how you're going to face them. Some signs of worry. Maybe trouble sleeping, bursts of anger, unexpected crying, situations going round and round in your head, feeling weighed down, which all stop us enjoying the present because we're worried about what might happen, what be going to happen. I'm not making light of situations that people face, just highlighting the extra weight we can add on ourselves. So if we're weighed down by worry, what can we do? Well, I'm not claiming to be an expert, obviously. It's not something that's going to be solved in a few words from me this morning. But it's a process with choices we can help to take this weight from us. Might not stop us worrying completely, but it'll stop the process consuming us and wearing us out. And hopefully, what we're going to say reminds us of God's role and God's presence in this situation. So, firstly, first suggestion is turn our gaze from the problem to God. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about our value to God. It's that really famous passage about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and everything's got what they need. All these little flowers just have everything they need. Look how I provide for them, God's saying. Look how valuable they are. So Jesus talks about our value to God. He talks about his desire, his ability to look after us. And then in verse 34, he says, so, because of these things I've just told you about how God looks after you and values you and treasures you, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. It's not just a, no, don't worry about it. It's a remember who God is, remember how he cares, remember what he can do and does do. And because of that, we can face today and tomorrow. It's a reminder of who he is. It's encouragement to turn our gaze, our eyes, our thoughts from the problem to God. So easy to lose sight of who God is because the problem looms in front of us. It's important, it's vital we remember that no problem is bigger than God. The Israelites at the edge of the Red Sea in Exodus 14, there they were, they'd escaped from Egypt, they'd fled through the desert, and then they reach the Red Sea that they can't get across, and they've got the army behind them who are coming up fast. God saves them in an amazing, dramatic way, showing them how powerful he is. Fantastic. They've had this experience, this undeniable experience of who God is and how he works in things that could only be dreamt of. So then they set off into the desert and they're following and God's leading them and they're learning. So when something happens that they don't know what to deal with, they remember God, don't they? They remember God at the edge of the Red Sea. So it's okay. God's done this for us. That's okay. He'll do it again. That's not what they did, though, is it? Each time they panicked. They got cross. They got scared. Why are we still here? Why can't we go back? They forgot. They'd been there on the edge of the Red Sea, seen the Red Sea part. They'd crossed on dry ground. They'd been saved hugely, and yet still when they faced a different issue, they forgot who God is. They forgot what he can do. So if they did that in having had those amazing experiences, it's probably no wonder that we do the same sometimes. That we've had perhaps experiences of God. We've read things about who he is. We've encountered him and how he works. And yet, how often do we forget? We see the problem and it looms large and it fills our mind and we forget who God is. Think about Mary in the Christmas story. She had a visit from Gabriel that she was going to miraculously be pregnant and give birth. All sorts of questions and fears about how it would work out and the implications of it. Her answer, I am the Lord's servant. May your will to me be fulfilled. In other words, I don't get it. I don't see how it's possible, but I know who does. If that's what God says, then that's okay. Looking to God allowed her to say yes, despite the uncertainty that she faced. Many of us perhaps take our big things to God, but we carry the little things around with us. Eugene Peterson, who was involved in the Message translation of the Bible, said that many think that to ask God to deal with what troubles us each day is like asking a famous surgeon to put iodine on a scratch. Not big enough to ask him. It's not big enough to bother him with. It's not true, though, is it? It's not true. God is not above any help that we need to ask him for. Each little thing, perhaps, each little worry, each little concern is manageable, but eventually they add up to too much. I'm sure you don't need me to give you examples of things that might be filling your mind, your concerns, your worries for yourself or the world. I've used last week's breath prayer, the peace one. I use that every day this week. Every day, sat in my car outside my schools, I prayed, keep me in perfect peace as I keep my thoughts on you. What a challenge that has been to keep looking to God in the midst of chaos in my schools. Do you know, it's been a fabulous reminder that what I have to do, it didn't solve out the chaos in the schools, but it helped me as I was facing the chaos in the schools. It's a reminder, as we're worried about things, as we're concerned, to look beyond the problem to God, who is bigger. So that's the first tip. Maybe you knew that already, but maybe you need a reminder to keep looking to God when things are not feel tricky. The second thing is to cast your burdens onto Jesus. So Peter, addressing the elders in the church in his first letter, was talking about conduct and attitude and how to behave and what to do. And then we get to the famous verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast your burdens, your worries, onto Jesus. He cares for you. Now, if David was preaching at this point, there'd be a song, which is perhaps going round in your head. Cast your burdens onto Jesus. He cares for you. Cast, literally, is to throw onto someone else. Think about casting a fishing line. Perhaps you get it. I'm not very technical. Maybe as far away from you as you can. It's literally throwing it in. In other words, giving responsibility to someone else. Casting implies not keeping hold of it, but handing it over. Handing it over, but not putting it back up, picking it back up. Lots of us, I think, are fairly good at handing it over, but we keep one hand on it and we pull it back. Or we hand it over and then we pick it back up again. Perhaps what we have to do is keep on handing it over. And each time we pick it back up, we hand it back. So the way to get rid of this weight of worry, or some ways, one is remember who God is and keep looking to him. Two, give him our problems and give them and keep and leave them there. And the third one, which I think we talked about a little bit in our house group course, couple of times ago, is about naming and recognising our worries. It's important to name the things we're worried about. Keeping them in our mind encourages them to grow. I was in a school this week and one of the teachers was saying she'd been for an appointment with her mum and they've had some not good health news and they'd seen the consultant and they come out and they were talking to the nurse and the nurse was brilliant and the nurse said, tell me what it is you're worried about. You've got this news, you've got this treatment plan, tell me what it is you're worried about. So my friend's mum could say, well, it's this, and I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about this, and I don't understand that. And the nurse went through them one by one. As she named them out loud, they could address them and talk about them. Such a better policy than keeping it in and letting it fester inside us is naming it out loud to ourselves, out loud to God, and possibly even out loud to somebody else. Casting our worries onto God when we pray. It can be lamenting, saying, I don't get it, I'm overwhelmed, I don't understand. It can be wrestling. It can be expressing our fear, our anger, our hurt. It doesn't have to be in nice words. It doesn't have to be dressed up and pretty. It's telling God how we feel and what it is that's inside. It doesn't guarantee the answers we want, and it's not an instant solution. But it reminds us who God is and how much he cares for us. Psalm 112 says, they will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. If you are weighed down by worry, if that's something you're carrying round that is making life difficult, then I encourage you to take it to God. I encourage you to keep on taking it to God, to look to him, to give him, cast your burdens onto him, to name and recognise the things that are going round inside your head. Do you need to remember this morning that God is all powerful? Do you need to cast your worries onto him again? Do you need to recognise or name the things you're worrying about? I pray that as you do those things, the burden of worry will be lifted from you. We're going to sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And then we're going to pray. And I'm going to say, I'm going to stay up there. So you'll still hear my voice, but I'll be up there. Don't feel you have to look at me. So let's stand. Let's sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. So let's just do that. We're going to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let me just say, not a quote from the Bible. Yesterday we went to watch Paddington Bear. The Paddington in Peru, and right near the beginning, Aunt Lucy said to Paddington, if you need me, call, and I will hear you wherever you are. If you need me, call, and I will hear you wherever you are. And I thought, ha, we need that. We're not cute bears, but we need a reminder that our God hears us every time we call. He hears us wherever we are. We are never too far. There's nothing too big. We need a reminder that we can call and know that he listens and he hears and he answers. So let's pray. Lord God, we're sorry that sometimes we pick up things that you don't intend us to carry. Things that weigh us down. Things that overwhelm us. Things that stop us worshipping and living and serving you freely. Things that become a focus. Lord, that's not what you intended. You didn't intend us to be weighed down. You intend us to be free. Free to worship you. Free to respond to you. Free to listen to you. Free to follow you. Free to show you to people in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, for trying to do things ourselves when we need your help. Forgive us that sometimes we're too proud to ask other people for help. Lord, we pray for your glory to be seen in us and through us. That people will see how you are at work, that it's not us, it's you in us, giving us words, helping us to notice. And we pray, Lord, that our church can be known as a place to come for help. Be known as a place where your glory is seen. Father, forgive us for times that we forget what you've done for us before. Forgive us for letting the problem become bigger than you and blocking out the things we know about you. Help us to trust you with the things we carry, with our concerns, with our future. Help us to know, Lord, that it's not wishful thinking, that it comes from knowing you, the creator of our world. We pray, Lord, as we go into this last full week before Christmas, we pray that the preparations, that the hustle and bustle won't in any way block out the amazingness of you sending Jesus here because you love us. We pray, Lord, that'll be at the front of everything we do. And we pray for the courage to share that with people we meet who are stressed and hassled. Thank you, Lord, that however we pray, wherever we pray, that you hear us, that you listen, that you respond, that you're at work because we've come to you. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen.